it soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And it dries all my tears, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
It has been a joy having Brother House with us in our stewardship revival again this year. He would normally be preaching last. His wife is not doing well, and I ask you to pray for her. It seems that the brain is beginning to swell again, and he asked if he could just slip off after he finished preaching to get back home. And I asked him, Brother House, would it help you to preach first and make it possible if you get out even earlier? He said it really would. So we've moved him to the first speaker tonight for that reason. And I want you to pray for her. I want you to make a note. Now, she's on our church prayer list, and we have been praying for her in our men and women's prayer meetings. But write her name down, if you will. Or if you haven't picked up one of his prayer sheets here or Bible reading helps, get something with his name on it and write Doris on it. And pray for her every day. If, you know, she's having a very tough time and they covet God's prayers. Now, they've coveted together to trust God, and they're asking him to heal her and raise her up. But the other night, he said, if not, they're still trusting God. Yes, and we thank God for this man, his life, and his ministry. You know, he was faithful as he could be faithful when he was struggling with cancer. And then he is as faithful as a man can be faithful to preach and still care for his wife. And we thank God for his concern about her and his willing to do what's necessary to care for her. You listen to Brother House on purpose. Amen. And we'll thank God for the message he's going to bring.
Well, you open your Bible, please, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Really what transpired when I got here tonight, Brother Smith said, now, Brother Brown's been delivering the mail, and you've been messing around. So, you just go first tonight. I was demoted. That's what happened. And he'll get even. Don't worry about him. He'll be all right. John chapter 6, I'm not going to read the passage right now, so don't start jumping up and down and making me nervous. Just keep your Bible open, and as we look for a little while at this passage of Scripture, I'll read the verses then. Now, when you come to John chapter 6, and begin to read about this time that Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, it's going to deal with the fourth of seven signs that Jesus gave, proving his deity and proving his power over certain things on earth. And this is the fourth sign, this one proving his deity and his power to supply our needs. Now, Brother Brown preached Sunday night, I believe, on the way you see things. Sometime or another he preached on that. The way you see things is important. It's amazing how the way you see things changes your Bible study even. And it's amazing how, whether we want it to or not, life experiences let us see different things out of the same passage of Scripture many times. So this has been a special blessing to me, and especially right now. And so I want us to look at it again. And of course, it's the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. You will recall that it is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It is the only miracle that appears that way. So I think you could call it a universal miracle. It's in all four Gospels, written to all groups of people, and it shows the way that God blesses still today. Now, when it comes time to seek comfort, and it comes time to seek reassurance, there's nothing better than having God's blessing on your life. In this passage of Scripture, there are some principles that I want us to see as we study how God blesses and how he sends his blessings. I want to talk, number one, about the miracle of the blessing. I'm going to read a few verses now, but listen carefully. We're going to talk about the miracle of the blessing. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, you might choose to mark this, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And you probably want to note verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, verse 8 and verse 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. And you notice it doesn't say 2 fishes. You know, two minnows, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And the miracle is going to spring from that. What are they among so many? See, Jesus is going to do a creation miracle here to demonstrate his power over creation. If you'll allow your mind to work a minute and not get too theological with me, I'd submit to you that we need to keep in mind that there are, I believe, 2 different kind of miracles. There are providential miracles and there are creation miracles. Providential miracles are heavily involved with the providence of God. We get the word providence from 2 Latin words, the word pro, meaning before, and the word video, meaning to see, which simply means that God sees it before. Before there ever is a need come up in your life, are we all right with this? Before ever a need comes in your life, any need, whatever the need is, God's already seen it. And in his providence, many times miracles come. It would happen maybe something like this. Someone would be praying for a need, and in the providence of God, someone else would provide that need. It's not a creation miracle. It's a providential miracle, but it's a miracle just the same. It's amazing to me how it works. I called the pastor this morning early down in South Louisiana that I was hoping to be with this weekend to check on Ike. And sure enough, Ike has got them running down there. And he said, "Preacher, I just think we're going to have to cancel the meeting." Well, that wasn't the best time for me to get, this is not the best time for me to get that news. And so I pouted a little bit, you know, and then I had to carry my wife to the cancer center, and we got some bad news there. And so I just wasn't in the best of spirits. That's pitiful. I said, "That's pitiful, but at least I'm honest about it." And what I was really thinking about, I was really thinking now, you know, had I went down there this weekend, then that would have got us back in pretty good shape. And now then, and he can't help it, and it's canceled. And so I fumed and fussed, and it was about 3.5 hours from the time it happened till I went out to the mailbox and got the mail, and there from a church that's never sent an offering in their life was a check for $500. Amen. Now, I have to tell you, it was dated before I knew there was a need. It was mailed before I knew there was a need. It never got there until there was a need. Isn't that amazing? And I still have to deal with that. Is he willing? We just so messed up, aren't we? We just think it's up to us, and if we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And that's just absolutely pitiful. I mean, we just need to get past it. You see, because God works in providential ways. This thing kind of came out of I was in a fellowship meeting, I guess it was last Thursday, up in Louisville. And after the meeting, one of my preacher friends was standing around, and he asked me that dumb question. And I'm going to help you. Now, this don't have nothing to do with anything except it's just a dumb question. You know, he knew that I hadn't preached in 2 months or so. He knew everything was going on. And then he asked me, "Do you need anything?" And I wouldn't have told him if I'd have been starving, slammed to death. I have never, ever, one time to anybody but God mentioned what the need was. And so I just said to him, "Well, God supplied thus far." And the check come from a fellow, a pastor, who was standing back behind and heard that. The providence of God. Amen. It's an amazing thing. Don't ask me to explain it, you know. But I'll tell you, even in the creation miracles, God's providence appears, because you read here in verse 6 where Jesus said he knew what he was going to do. It was there. He knew it. And so a creation miracle, though, is different, because it involves a miracle that uses God's creation powers. He's just going to make something out of nothing. In the providential miracles, he sometimes uses what somebody else has or what you have. But in those, when he came to the wedding, he did one of those creation miracles. Just created wine out of water. And here he's going to create some wonderful things, you know. And so the miracle here is that of the Lord meeting a need. These people are very hungry, and they have no means at all to satisfy their appetite. I'm not too worried about you getting the outline, but I want you to get the principles. The first principle we're going to look at is this. The size of the blessing is in direct proportion to the need. The size of the blessing is in direct proportion to the need. You go back and read those first 7 verses, and you find that great crowd there, and Jesus asking, "How are we going to feed them?" And Philip said, "We got 200 pennyworth." None of that had anything to do with the miracle. None of that had anything to do with the provision. See, in God's economy, sooner or later, we'll discover that the greater the need, the greater the blessing. The lesser the need, the lesser the blessing. See, in verse 6, we're told that Jesus knew what he was going to do. In verse 5, Jesus asked Philip, how to do it, not for information, but to test Philip himself. So first principle, the size of the blessing is in direct proportion to the need. So that heavy burden that comes, that great need that settles in on you, if we could just believe, and if we could just act on faith, then the blessing comes. It just comes. Second principle, God shows in this miracle that he can take what we have and make a blessing out of it. Look in verse 8 and verse 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Never occurred to them that that's all they needed for God to make something out of it. That God can take what we have. See, we're always waiting for God to give us something else and something more. And God's waiting for us to use what we have. There are a lot of folks waiting till they're financially free to begin their giving program, and God's waiting for you to begin your giving program so he can get you financially free. It's just a plain, simple truth. The little lad had just a little lunch, but the songwriter said little is much when God is in it. See, just a little lunch. It may help us to remember, number one, God owns everything. Period. Number two, God has given you something. Amen. Yeah, Brother Brown fussed about that. Oh, he said you was rich. And I believe him. I believe every creature walking in the grace of God, especially in a country like America, is rich. You know. Number three, that makes you a steward. And number four, we must give an account of our stewardship. It's just that simple. We talk about the little boy and the blessing he got out of it, but I'm going to tell you what, had he not given up his lunch, he would have given an account for it later on. And you and I will do it too, you see. Had he been selfish with what he had, you see. But he didn't miss the blessing. He was a good steward. So there's the miracle of the blessing. It could be providential. It could be creational. But in the miracle, the size of the blessing, the size of the blessing is in direct proportion to the need, and God shows that he can take what we have and make a blessing. The second point I want you to see tonight is this, though. Not only the miracle of the blessing, but the manner of the blessing. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was, isn't that interesting? Make the men sit down. Evidently they weren't too eager to do that because they didn't see nothing to eat. Why sit down at the table if it's empty? 5,000 hungry men. There are more folks there, but we know there are 5,000 men. They're all hungry. And so Jesus said to these 12 disciples, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. We're talking about the manner of the blessing now. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Did you get that? As much as they would. How much you need. And he gave it to them. As much as they would. So the Lord initiated the blessing. But he got the disciples in on it and involved them in carrying it out. Now, God always initiates stuff, and then he waits on us to carry it out. And tonight you're going to have a wonderful opportunity to carry out the program of God. Most of you are going to miss it. It's not going to be a thing of evil intent. You just think you can't be a blessing. You just think your fish are too little. You think your biscuits are not enough. You just think your little bit wouldn't make a difference. But see, the manner of the blessing involves everybody carrying out their part of it. See, everything we're capable of doing is because of God's provision. He has enabled us to. And the blessing came to the 5,000 because there was obedience. Have the men sat down. They sat down. I'm not really sure what they thought. I don't have a clue, but they did sit down. Amen. I know what they saw, nothing. What they thought, I don't know. They probably didn't pout. They might just sat down. But I want you to notice the third principle. Don't miss it. To receive God's blessings, there must be obedience to God. Too many of us waiting on God to bless us while we're still in disobedience. See, you knowing what to do don't put you in right standing with God. And you don't get to know God by Bible study. You get to know God by obeying Him. You get to know about God by studying the Bible. And too many of us know more than we do. And we just need to get past that. To receive God's blessing, there must be obedience to God. Think with those folks, those 5,000 men. Think how foolish it must have sounded when those disciples came speaking for Christ and said, "Okay, men, sit down, we're going to eat." Now, what would you have thought? Yeah, my hind leg. We're going to eat? There's nothing here to eat. How foolish could it be? What if the preacher said, "Okay, folks, we're going to have a banquet now, right after church, and I want you to meet you over in the fellowship hall," and you've already been over to the fellowship hall tonight, and you know there ain't nothing in there. You know, how foolish it would sound. And matter of fact, you'd think, well, you know, a preacher's just a fool. Just foolish. Just all that foolishness. Now, hopefully, they sat down exercising a faith that had been sparked when they saw the other miracles that verse 2 talks about that he had done. And they said, well, you know, he healed all those sick folks. If he did that, he can feed us. And they just sat down. Wouldn't it be good if you and I could get past this thing of needing to see it?
Yes, amen.
Wouldn't it be good if in our dark times we could just believe God? Wouldn't that be good? In these financial distresses and the economy is just as crazy as it can be, let me give you some help, it's just going to get crazier. Someone said, "What do you think gasoline is going to do? Go up." Somebody said, "What you going to do when it gets to $5 a gallon? Lord willing, I'm going to keep buying gasoline. Not my responsibility. And I don't have the need right now. And I guess when I have the need, I'll have the $5. What do you think?" I don't really have to wait to see it, I hope. You know, just sit down, exercising the kind of faith that the Bible talks about. See, we're so prone to forget that God got us this far.
Amen.
We're so prone to forget the blessings of the past. Some of you can't even remember what you used to be. Someone said, "Well, I still haven't got what I deserved." I hope you're happy about that. I really do. See, but how foolish it must have sounded to them. And you know, there must have been some faithlessness there. I mean, they wasn't all faithful because you said, "Make them sit down." Evidently, the first time they said, "Sit down," they didn't sit down, you know. And there is a natural reluctance on the part of Christians not to sit down to eat when there's nothing there to eat. You know. Think about that for a moment. See, that's the way that it is when a real need comes up in your life. I mean, when there's just not enough. When you can put it on paper and come to the preacher and say, "Preacher, here's why I can't give. The facts are," and you just give us all the facts except one. You leave out the fact of God. But there is that natural reluctancy. Everything seems so impossible and so hopeless, and that's exactly the way it gets until the Lord brings the blessing. See, and to have the blessings of God, you're just going to have to be in obedience. You just have to be obedient. For this church to receive a blessing corporately, you have to preface that blessing with sound Bible preaching and teaching, which you get every week, but that won't bring the blessing. And then obedience to the Word of God that's preached to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what we see on the table. No. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, three principles we've got. We're going to look at principle number one. The size of the blessing is determined by the size of the need. Number two, God can take what we have and make a blessing out of it. He can take what we have. Look, He can take our sorrow, and he can take our difficulties, and he can take our lack of understanding if we'll give it to him and make a blessing out of it. And number three, to receive God's blessing, there must be obedience. Number four, how much of a blessing you receive is based on your desire. Look back at verse 11 again. I just marked this with two lines. I mean, I underlined it twice. That last phrase, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, if I'll stand for any of you to correct me if you'll do it in the right spirit. But the best I can tell, some folks got a lot more fish than other folks. Well, what do you think? As much as they would. Oh, I just don't have much appetite today. Just give me a small piece. And then you got the Baptist. Man, fill the plate up. Well, I think this fellow got a small piece, and I think this guy got the plate filled up. Well, what do you get out of that? As much as they would. Whatever their desire was. Is that what Psalm 37:4 said? They obeyed. They sat down. They evidently had some faith. And so, then delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. See, and honest truth is, somebody says, well, I think they got more than they needed. I do too. And if it's an indication that you think you've got more than you need, that's an indication that God's got something he wants you to do with what's left over. And you need to pray very, very sincerely for further instructions on how the extra ought to be used. See, you really need to get your 12 baskets full in play. We've talked too much about that little boy taking those 12 basketfuls home. He might have, but I doubt it. I think somebody else got fed down the road. And we need too many of us taking our 12 baskets full home. Oh, we do our little tithe and we do our little offering, but we keep the 12 baskets full. And sooner or later, that runs out. So there's the miracle of the blessing, the manner of the blessing. Now, number three, I want you to note the magnitude of the blessing. The magnitude of the blessing. Verse 13 and verse 14. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. The magnitude of the blessing. The blessing proved to be well more than enough to meet the need. There was much left over. You think back to verse 9. There's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Who would have ever thought that was more than enough to meet the need? And then you say, well, my little bit wouldn't make a difference. His little bit made a difference. Our little faith makes a difference. If you can have faith that's a grain of mustard seed, you don't have to be some great faith warrior. Just believe, you know, just believe God. Just for one time, understand that God wants you to be a blessing to somebody else with what you have. And get it into circulation. See, and then God will do more than you've expected. He does that every time. And just for folks who like to play with this kind of stuff, and I really don't like to, but you can't hardly miss this if you check the numbers out, you know. 5 barley loaves, that's the number of grace, they tell me. 2 fishes, that's the number of witnesses, plus the fish has always been a sign of that, you know, I guess. And when you add those two together, you get a number of 7, which is a perfect number, just always has been. And any way you want to look at it, add them up, subtract them, multiply them, divide them. It just shows that the Lord can take a big problem and bring back a perfect solution with just a little of your stuff. I don't care how you add it up. I don't care what you know. So the greatness of the blessing is determined by the need. You got a big need tonight. That's good. Number 2, God can take what we have and make a blessing out of it. Number 3, to receive God's blessing, there must be obedience. Number four, how much of a blessing you receive is based on your desire. Fifth principle, God does not want the blessings taken for granted. See, when the instructions were given after the eight, he said, you gather it all up now. Put it in these baskets. Remember, see, you got more than you thought you needed, then God wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. And I talk, I know some Baptist folks. Your preacher knows some Baptist folks. You know some Baptist folks. There ain't no way they can spend what they got before they die. But they ain't going to be a blessing with it. They're going to die with it. Leave it for the state, or worse, for the kids to fight over. Someone said, well, I just want my kids to have a better start than I did. You turned out all right. I don't want mine fighting over a ring or a piece of crystal or a crocheted bedspread. Stupid. Put it in circulation. Share it. Sixth principle. God wants the blessings to be shared and continued. You just find it all through the story. See, for the Lord's work to be perpetuated, there has to be a continual surrendering of what we have in order for God to make it larger, bigger. That's the only way it's going to get bigger. The little lad surrendered his lunch, and we're still talking about it tonight. Now, seventh and last principle. This may be the most important one. When God blesses in that manner, truth is authenticated. Look back to verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that shall come into the world. A miracle of God in your life gives you an opportunity to manifest the truth of God's word to other people. The reason the world, the preacher said the other night, this heathen world thinks that the church is not relevant. Well, of course not. If you look around and be objective, you'll wonder about it. Amen. You'll look at us and the way we react to our needs and our difficulties, and we react just like they do. Why would they think the church is relevant? But when you and I put ourselves in a position where God can work one of his creation miracles or one of his providential miracles, then everything changes. Now remember, the songwriter said little is much when God is in it, but I'll have you to remember much is much when God is in it too. And we need to get, and some of you have a perfect opportunity here in just a few minutes. Brother Brown finishes preaching, and Brother Smith comes and talks about the challenge of the months ahead. You're going to have a very perfect opportunity to place yourself in a position for a miracle. It only comes through obedience. And it only comes from the Word of God. And don't look around to see how you can do it. Amen. The table may be empty, but God can take, you got something, and God can take what you have and make a miracle out of it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. We find it food in the famine. We find it comfort and a blessing. And for those tonight, financial needs in their life, may they just believe you and obey. Those with needs of all kinds that they'd never mention, no one would ever know, may they know that you're capable of meeting every need. And may we read and reread and reread, two small fish and as much as they would. And may we credit you with the miracle that you did. In Jesus' name, amen.